Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am super excited to speak to you today. I've got a wonderful show on cancer, something that has touched everybody at one time or another in their life, hopefully not, but nonetheless, that is the stark reality. One out of four had it when we declared the war on cancer in the 70s. We're down to one out of three, approaching one out of two. We didn't have it 400 years ago, not because we couldn't identify it, but because it was rarely happening. And yet now we're being told it's genetic in its origin and it's the genes. Well, the genes haven't changed in 400 years. How do we account for the absolutely astronomical increase in its presence? If you get nothing else from this show today, ladies and gentlemen, get that. Question to you, and let's begin the show. What does the embryo, fetal development, sperm meets egg, and you make this little thing in there we call an embryo. What does that have to do with cancer? In 1900, John Beard, a Scottish surgeon, Edinburgh, Scotland, at the turn of the last century, had an interesting idea. He was nominated for the Nobel Prize. You haven't heard the name John Beard. The word trophoblast means nothing to you. In the next 60 minutes, I'll make sure it does. Relax yourself, open your minds. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. There is no show like this in America. This show asks you to integrate medicine. This is not something you can find on the internet. This is not a collection of interesting facts. This is not a website or a radio show that sells supplements. Let the others do that. That's their role. My role is to ask you to learn to integrate medicine. If you're sitting there asking yourself why you're not getting what you want out of your life in terms of your health, it's because you don't have the education. You've mistaken education for fact-finding and all sorts of propaganda. This show asks you to reach deeper. So reach deeper with me today. Three words I want you to take. You've heard them on my other shows. My other shows in the past week or two on oxidative stress, on the mystery of DNA, on autophagy. Show 135, 136, 137. Three words I've been setting you up for with this show. Three words. Apoptosis, senescence, and malignancy. If you took all the people with all the diseases, long before they were ever diseases, and you had the pathologist look at their cells, long before all the people with all the diseases ever got sick, long before those people even had a symptom, what you would find, what the pathologist would find, looking at the collection of cells under the microscope, are cells that are being oxidatively damaged. If you don't know what I mean, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, get the archives, and get hip. Right now, we'll just say, a cell is a grape, and when free radicals have knocked enough holes in the skin of the grape, that cell is oxidatively damaged. Free radical damage to the point where it looks like a broken down house. Long before those cells and all those people looked at by all those pathologists under all those microscopes get to the point where you feel a symptom, worse yet, you have a disease, a diagnosis, worse yet, you're dying. Long before, those cells will become senescent. Now, there's a word, but as you well know, I just won't leave you with words. Picture number four. So get to the radio literature section. If you're new to the show, the radio literature section, click it on for today's show and pop up picture number four. Great big beautiful picture in the middle. It's green. Senescence is the word. Old people, and you're not old, you're getting younger. But people that go the other way ultimately become senescent, senile, useless. They sit there in a chair. They can't move. They can't think. They can't see. They can't hear. They can't smell. They can't taste. They're not functional. Your cells, long before you get sick, begin to get senescent. Ultimately, that's uselessness. It's senility. I don't mean senility like old people are senile. I mean senility or senescence like uselessness. Your heart does not work. Your kidneys do not work. If we look at the cell is not malignant. The cell is not cancerous. The cell is simply not functioning. Well, the cell has an internal intelligence, and that internal intelligence may produce suicide, cellular suicide. Signals go to the DNA. Signals from the DNA go out to the organelles of the cell. And via the lysosome, the pit bull demolition crew of the cell is signaled to commit suicide. But it'll do this in stages. It'll begin to show, the organ will begin to show signs of apoptosis. I won't just leave you with words. Picture number one, picture number two. Look at the colors. The colors are better. Picture number two, the apoptosis process, the apoptotic process. The cell's damaged, stressed, triggered by bodily signals, and it ends up just blowing itself to smithereens. If this is unbridled, unsupervised, completely and absolutely out of control, like the bonfire, ultimately, your organ just, in a sense, explodes. It doesn't become senescent, it just disintegrates. There are two different things amounting to the same type of problem. Point. Long before those cells become senescent or apoptotic, we can see this coming. Check out my other shows on oxidative stress, like show 132, show 134, show 136. Autophagy, the DNA, the oxidative damage to the DNA. Today we're talking about cancer. Today we're talking about Donald Kelly. Today we're talking about Nick Gonzalez. Today we're talking about the Hohenwang Clinic in Germany. Today we're talking about options for you, because you may have cancer. You know people who have cancer. And the jig is up. If you'll take the time to get educated, you'll make better choices for your life. And as long as our American flag allows us freedom of choice through the Constitution, that is your choice to do so. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. Treatments for cancer on many levels are largely a crock. They are ignorance, and over the next 100 years, we'll look back at some of these treacherous, grossly invasive treatments and realize how foolish we were. And that's an understatement. Donald Kelly had an idea. Donald Kelly needed to have an idea. Donald Kelly, back in the 50s, 60s, Donald Kelly had terminal cancer. He was an orthodontist. And he had pancreatic cancer, metastasized basically all over his body. Stage four, goodbye. There's nothing left to say. Write your will and write it quickly. Pancreatic cancer, the Patrick Swayze cancer, takes you quickly. I spoke to Donald Kelly. I had the honor, 32 years later, in his early 80s, a year or two before he died. I spoke to him in the year 2004, the summer of 2004. I spoke to him on the phone from his, I guess what was no more than a small home in the middle of nowhere in Texas. His story is legion. Donald Kelly cured his own cancer. Pictures of Donald Kelly. I've done a lot for you. Picture number 17. Look at that face. Look at that man. You ever know anybody with terminal pancreatic cancer? The guts, the intelligence, the discipline of mind. This is back in the 60s. To come out of that and live 32 years later without a trace. He died of congestive heart failure. If I were to say it from my perspective, he died of a broken heart. for good reason. We won't get into that today. I put a couple of links up there on Donald Kelly, especially the relationship between Donald Kelly and protege Nicholas Gonzalez. Nick Gonzalez is a medical doctor that interned with Kelly under the direction of Dr. Robert Good. Robert Good was a medical doctor with a doctorate. Robert Good, to his credit, was director of cancer research at Sloan Kettering, MD, PhD. Can you get any more credentialed? Nick Gonzalez was being mentored by him. Nick Gonzalez was later to be mentored by Donald Kelly, because Nick Gonzalez, coming from conservative orthodoxy, lived with Kelly, worked with Kelly, studied Kelly's results, and he was astounded, absolutely astounded by the depth and effect of Kelly's work. Dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of cases of terminal cancer resolved, fixed, cured through the Kelly program. And Gonzalez, with all his clout, now remember, he's under the direction of Dr. Robert Good, MD, PhD, Director of Cancer Research at Sloan Kettering. These are the real guys, including Robert Good. These aren't the bozos. These aren't the idiot orthodoxy. These are true scientists. And one true scientist ran cancer research at Sloan Kettering and told his young protege, Nick Gonzalez, look, if there's something there to learn, study this guy. Nick Gonzalez, to his credit, did more than study with Kelly. Nick Gonzalez stayed with Kelly a long time. Nick Gonzalez is in practice today in New York City with Linda Isaacs, his colleague, both medical doctors in New York City. They practice today, and they've evolved the Kelly protocol, which we'll get into later. The point is, if I say the word to you, Donald Kelly, if you look his name up, if you look at these books, this is no joke. This man did it. The other guy was Gerson, Max Gerson. We'll talk about him perhaps another day. Today we're talking about Donald Kelly. His story is fascinating, and his contribution is massive. And it lives under the sheets, under the covers, under the dust. It's not out there circulating. It needs to be. So Donald Kelly has terminal cancer, looks for a solution, and he finds it on the back of a man named John Beard. John Beard was a Scottish physician. I want to give you a little insight into Donald Kelly. First, check picture number 22. The treatment, the enzyme treatment of cancer and its scientific basis. This is John Beard. He's a Scottish physician in the year 1900 or so. And he's got an idea about the origin of cancer. He was nominated for the Nobel Prize, I believe, in 1912. He didn't win it, but he was nominated for it because what he said made sense. His version of what drives cancer, it's called the trophoblastic theory. Gonzalez wrote a book on it. Kelly, many, many years earlier, heard of it, read about it, and it made sense. So you're talking about a Donald Kelly with a terminal diagnosis in the middle of nowhere with no options, the worst you can get, pancreatic cancer. Maybe this was a blessing, right? Maybe it was a blessing because he didn't have a surgical option. Maybe this was a blessing because he had to reach down deep into his soul. And that's a part of the story that's going to be very relevant, as I'll interpret it for you. That Donald Kelly had to reach deeply into his soul with no time, really, really, really under the gun. Looked up out of the dust the name John Beard, the enzyme treatment of cancer. Let's have an understanding of what John Beard was saying. But first I'll give you my perception of it to make it easier for you to understand. And then we're going to go to that article that if you're in the literature section, you can see easily. There's a couple of paragraphs that are so important. I want to read them to you. And then the whole article is up there on top with one of the links. Click those links in your spare time. In any event,